And so he called me yesterday, gave me a whole 24 hours to get ready. That's fine. Normally not an issue, but he and I, he gave an offering that a man named Mark Copeland has a series of outlines online. I've never used someone's outline before. So in true politician form, if it goes well, it's mine. If it goes poorly, it's his fault. All right? It's always somebody else. But now, I got to looking on, and Tammy, you'll get a kick out of this. I keep wanting to call him Stuart Copeland instead of Mark, drummer for the Police, right? So I kept slipping on that all day yesterday. So I was looking on Mr. Copeland's site, and I was thinking, okay, Kevin's sick, something to do with illness. And I came across a lesson about how well do we hear. It's in his series he has on spiritual wellness. So I thought we'd talk about that today. Thought we'd talk about how well we hear. I've always had a theory that as a teacher here, other places, and at the local small college, I've done some teaching, and I've always had a theory that if there hasn't been learning, there truly hasn't been teaching. I tend to keep that pressure on myself, that I insist that if somebody hasn't learned anything, I really haven't done my job. And I feel the same about listening and hearing. Listening is not hearing. Listening can be done passively. And I'm seeing that not only does Mr. Copeland agree with me, but Jesus agrees with me. We notice that in Matthew 11:15, 13:9, 13:43, Jesus says, if you have ears, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. The Spirit goes on to guide the writer in Revelation in chapter 2, verse 7, 2:11, 2:17, 2:29, chapter 3, verse 6, 13 and 22, again, reiterating, he who has ears, let him hear. Kind of making a point, isn't he? Right? But what is his point? If we move on, we see in Mark, and I'll be using English Standard Version for my readings today. If you may have a different translation, a few words may be off, but the point will still be there. We see in Mark chapter 4, verse 23 through 25, we see where Jesus says, if anyone has ears, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to one who has, more will be given, and one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Jesus says, pay attention to what's being said, because you will glean more from what you hear if you're truly paying attention. Notice the definition of the word that's actually, the definition for the words that were originally used in this writing before it was made into English. The words mean, that physical hearing is not enough. People need spiritual receptiveness and understanding. That's what this hearing means. To grasp the divine truth. To call to attentiveness. A teachable heart. Willingness to obey and transform oneself. So pay attention. In our vernacular. Remember in college? Well, probably in high school too. Teacher would say, this will be on the test. That's what we're talking about here. When Jesus speaks, he's saying, this will be on the test. You really want to listen while I'm speaking. It's about application, but I don't want to get ahead of myself too far. It's not just about you're paying a sort of attention to the words that are rolling out of Eric's mouth, but especially when they're the master's words that I'm sharing with you, we need to have application in our life. The problem, though, didn't just exist in Jesus' day. I believe it exists even more so in our day. And we have to ask ourselves, how well do we listen? How well do we hear, is what I meant to say, actually. See, I'm slipping into it myself. Especially with the distractions we have today. Have any of us ever, and I think everybody's probably at some point guilty of it, but some people are worse than others, and I don't think those people are in this crowd, this room. Have you ever been speaking to somebody and looked at your phone? I think phones have created a huge distraction from actually giving someone the proper listening when we're speaking with someone or they're speaking to us. Social media, constant bombardment by electronic media of some sort, television, radio. We're in an age where people have shorter attention spans. We've created this monster. And if we're actually not listening properly, definitely we're not hearing properly. And even more so when we're talking about spiritual matters. There are four different kinds of hearers. We'll begin with those hard of hearing. How apropos, those of you who know me well. Yes, there's some guys in the back of the room realized that Wednesday night, sitting on the back seat, I didn't even hear the buzzer go off downstairs. And so I thought I had to run back there and hit it again. In Matthew, the reading we had this morning, Barry shared with us Jesus speaking about why he spoke in parables, because there are those who are hard of hearing, those who really don't care to hear. He was reiterating and making application from Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 6 of verse 9 of Isaiah, where God has called him and he's answered God and said, "Here I am." And then God goes on to explain to him, there will be people who don't hear what you are actually saying. You will speak, they may listen or may not, but they don't want to hear what you're saying. This is an ongoing thing at my home. My wife is sure that I'm not listening to her. She's halfway across the house with her back to me, but no. I have a hearing deficiency. My hearing aids have been destroyed. It causes some inconvenience till I get new ones. But how many of the world, how many people, and sadly even sometimes in the church, do not want to hear what is being said? Their answer is, huh? Or I can't hear you. Well, of course, without the hearing, then there's no responsibility. Can't be held accountable, right? But sadly, that's not the truth. We all will be held accountable whether we heard or not. The word was provided. We see in the Hebrew writer, we see in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11, about this we have much to say. The writer's going on to say about people not listening. And it's hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Well, what was the context here of dull of hearing? The context here was about being lazy, about being lethargic, sluggish was the term that was used in the original language. It had to do with, I hear you, there's words coming out of your mouth, but I don't care enough for it to motivate me to do anything. And how many of us have tried to share the gospel with somebody and they didn't care to be bothered? Yeah, oh, that makes sense. Maybe that makes sense. But I just can't be motivated by it. Or sadly enough, how many of us have tried to talk to a brother or sister about something they're doing that's in error, and again, they just don't quite care enough to change. And this goes back, which wasn't part of today's lesson, but you've heard me say it many times before. This has to do with us thinking that we're in charge and not God. We have become God because we've decided the rules now. It's just not worth my effort. And then the third type of hearer is those with itching ears. We've talked about this many a time at Churches of Christ. We talk a lot about those with itching ears. And it's always easy for us to look down the road at the other people. But again, it might even come home to us some. But we see in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in 3 and 4, "For the time was coming when people will not endure sound doctrine." We all know this scripture very well, but I'm reading through it anyway. "Teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and running off into myths." Think about our world as we drive through Kokomo and any other town in America. How many, not that I endorse the denominations they were, but how many organizations have left their original church organization, Baptist, Methodist, whatever they were, and have become community churches, the community church phenomenon, which basically teaches Jesus loves you. Lovely sentiment. He does love us all. But they stop there. There's no requirements. There's no commands that Jesus has written in his word. There's no commitment from the individual or expected from the individual. As long as they show up on Sunday and contribute, which has always been my big gripe about churches that teach there is no works to get us to heaven, but they always require contribution. But that's a whole nother story, right? But the community church then doesn't have to answer to any governing body. They don't have to have any responsibilities about what they teach other than Jesus loves me. And the people go home and they feel good about themselves, that grace is somehow deserved. I shouldn't have to do anything because Jesus died for me. He wants to give me this gift. And he did. He did die for us, and his grace does save us. But he also has required certain things from us. And to exclude all the scriptures that teach that is exactly what Paul was telling Timothy would happen. He noticed that also Timothy is instructed, though, if we back up to verse 2, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with the complete patience and teaching." And that's what folks don't want to hear. They don't want that part of what the gospel has to give us. They don't want to be rebuked when they're sinful. They don't want to be reproved. But let's go on. One more other thought about these folks with the itching ears. The prosperity gospel. I have to touch on this. How many people funnel into giant mega churches where the fellow speaking is promising them, God wants you to be rich. Okay. That's not what the gospel promises. Some will be rich, some will be poor. It's about being faithful. But yet, people pile into these organizations because that's what they want to hear, the itching ear. So one more, the fourth of type listener, those with noble hearts, good hearts, righteous hearts. Excuse me. In Luke chapter 8, verse 15. "As for that, the good soil," is speaking from the parable of the sowers, those with the good soil. They are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, bearing fruit with patience. See, they didn't expect the fruit to come overnight, nor did God expect the fruit to come overnight. He knows that we're all a work in progress, but they worked at it. We notice that in Acts 17, verse 11, the Bereans were hearers of this kind, receiving the word with readiness. In fact, the Acts says that in the English Standard Version, it refers to them as Jews, but we know that in other translations, now these Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? Simply because the hearing, not just listening, the hearing the word, at holding fast in its honest and good heart, and bearing fruit, okay? So, again, seeing their faith working. So, now that we've established that there are four kinds of hearers, I would hope everybody in the room has decided, yes, I need to be the fourth kind, right? Be of a noble heart. So, what is important about having that noble heart? One thought would be that we have the blessings of a wonderful life on this side. If we continue the reading from where Barry left off, we talk about the blessings of having a noble heart. But blessed, picking up the reading from Matthew 13, picking up in 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear, not just listen, see? For truly I say unto you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Think about all those who came before Jesus, and they stood fast, they held firm to what God had commanded, they shared with people who were sometimes killing them or imprisoning them. They endured, think about Moses in the desert. They were all faithful without knowing Jesus Christ. They didn't have the benefits of being on this side of the cross. We have that. How could we be less dedicated? How could we be less committed to the gospel, knowing that we have seen Jesus come, die, and be resurrected and ascend to heaven? We have that going for us. We have the blessings of this life. We also have physical blessings, as Mark mentioned earlier. We have all the good things that come from a clean, wholesome Christian life that we don't have to deal with the repercussions of sin in this life if we stand fast to the gospel. We have a good life as well while we're here, but we have even a better place to go to. Okay. The importance of the good heart is to saving faith. Okay, God has ordained us to be saved. We have that, as I just alluded to, but let's go a little deeper into it. We see that the Roman writer says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God and for salvation to everyone who believes." We can't believe without hearing. "To the Jew first and to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." We have salvation. That's why we have the righteous heart. I'm editing as I go, so pardon me just a moment. But continuing in Romans chapter 10, "How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him who have they never heard? How are we to, and how are they to hear without our preaching? Of course, it goes on to say. So there's our job, in that we have to share the gospel. The question we have to ask is, does our lack of hearing, not just listening, not just showing up every week and being here, you know, sitting through, punching our card, as it were, and being here, does our lack of truly hearing and applying in our life affect our faith? And then in extension, our salvation. We don't like to think about that. We've all been washed in the blood. We've all had our communion. We are trying to be faithful. That's how we would convince ourselves. But yet, if our hearing is lackadaisical, are we missing something? Are we omitting parts that we should be changing in our lives? Are we giving God so little by sitting there thinking about the Hoosier game that we're actually playing with fire? Okay. Are we bearing fruit? So that would be, of course, the next extension from that. Because once we have heard and have committed, we have to bear fruit. And we go back to the sower. As we read, I won't go back there, but from Luke chapter 8. We see the fruit was plentiful because he had provided the good soil. Are we the good soil? Understanding. Now, see, we've been talking about hearing, but why do we hear? Why do we not just listen? Why do we truly hear? We're trying to understand the words. And understanding is what grows fruit. And that's what God wants. We see that in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 6, that the hearing leads to understanding. Understanding leads to fruit, is what the Apostle Paul writes there. We want to have a noble heart in the hearing to prevent apostasy. Okay. Did I want to read a Hebrew writer? Yeah, we'll do that. Okay. Because apostasy always worries me, because I've seen too many times where a few have led a church astray. And we just talked about it when I covered for Mark last week, how that the few stirred the crowd to kill the Jesus who they had just a week before brought into the city with great fanfare and love. And suddenly they're yelling, "Crucify him." But we see in Hebrews chapter 2, that's where I want to go next. Yeah, 2 and 1. We see, "Therefore we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message was declared by angels, provided to be reliable, and every transgression, disobedience received its just retribution." Okay. We have to pay attention lest we fall into retribution. How many times has a church been divided because people were not grounded in sound doctrine? And one or two or a few have decided that we should do this with the church. We should add this. We should take away that. We don't like what that says. It comes from a lack of understanding, which leads to a lack of wisdom, which leads to weakness, which leads to sin. And suddenly you either have an entire church that we would travel to a town, let's say, and I hope it's never this town where somebody else is coming. So we travel to a town, Ohio somewhere, and we walk in and we sit down and we realize that we're not hearing the gospel. We're hearing some watered-down version of the gospel. We're hearing something that has things added to it. And we look in the front of the building. It said Church of Christ out there, but it's not inside. It doesn't start overnight. Slowly grows. And it's due to people not being committed to what the gospel says. We have to have a noble heart in our listening. Again, these are sort of paired. To avoid rejection. I guess this would be more of a personal thing, rather than a church-wide destroying an entire church. We need to think about, though, the fact that God can reject us. Now, again, that whole community church thing, nobody wants to hear that. But the truth is the truth. And if anyone, Matthew chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, and if anyone will not receive or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave their house, that house or town. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Okay. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody likes the thought of that, that God could decide that Eric had not listened properly to his word, not made the fruit in his life, and so he will be rejected. But the truth hurts sometimes. And what did Paul tell Timothy? There will be those who do not want to hear this kind of preaching. And you know, we've had people leave this auditorium because they did not want to hear that kind of preaching. Is that going to change anything on Judgment Day? Not a thing. The fact you didn't hear it, you know, the cartoons always had that ostrich stick his head in the sand, right? Not my problem. I can't see it. Well, but it is. It is our problem. So these things think. And of course, escaping condemnation, which is very much the same kind of thought, but we're going to make a couple points about it because, let me see. Did I want that? Sorry, I was trying to decide if I wanted to go back and pick up this lesson, this scripture, just back up, or move on. See, I don't even know what direction I'm going. All right. Oh, I do. Pardon me. Before we move on to escape condemnation, one more thought about avoiding rejection. Because in Acts chapter 13 and verse 44, really simple, let me water it down or narrow it down. I don't want water in anything to do with the gospel, but I want to narrow it down and just tell you this way. Since you thrust it aside, that being the word of God, thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. They were speaking to the Jews, and they said, you were offered the gospel, and you thrust it aside. You decided you were unworthy of the gospel. And that's what a person does when they reject or they don't listen with a noble heart. They have decided, I'm not worthy of this. So it's not on God. He didn't choose to remove it from you. You chose that you didn't want to be part. Another reason we have to have a noble heart in our listening, in our hearing, is to escape condemnation. We see in Matthew 21 and 41 where Christ refers to the Ninevites. And I won't bother going there to read it right now, but in Nineveh, when Jonah went there and told them, They were about to be destroyed. They repented. That's the point. They listened to the hard preaching. They had a repentant heart. That's what we're required to do. We're required to have that same repentant heart. And again, that goes back to those who had faith even before they understood about Jesus. The Assyrians were smart enough to understand when God speaks, you need to step up. And they did for a time. We see in history where there was a time when the Assyrians stopped, completely walked away from besieging Jerusalem and went home. Just went home for a while. And then a new king, and then things begin again. All right, so how do we become better hearers? Basically, Mr. Copeland, and I would agree with him, thinks that hearing needs to be the sixth act of worship. It's not enough to come and pray, commune, sing, give, and listen to teaching. We need to actually hear. We need to come prepared to actually hear the words. I know you're saying that's listening. No, but it's not. There's a sister, there's actually a couple of them doing it today, and I appreciate that, but there's a sister who's been here. I met her when I first arrived here, when I moved here from the Chicago area, late 70s. She always takes notes. Now, a thing to remember, I think I'm going to mention it a little bit later, but preachers actually can see everything in the building. So, but this particular sister takes copious notes. Every lesson, whether it's Kevin or me or Mark or John or whoever else is preaching. Now, she's been at this a long time. Probably doesn't need to. But you understand, by her taking notes, it's a learning process. See, she's heard the words coming out of my mouth. She's written them down. It helps reinforce the learning, the hearing. Now, that blended into my next point about looking at the speaker, but that's this. Make sure where I'm at. Pardon me. Okay. So this is not passive. Sorry. I'm sorry to do that to you. I just got lost for a minute. This is not a passive operation. We need to wrap ourselves around the words. We need to be wrapped, R-A-P-T, with attention. It's too easy to be wander off. We need to listen from the first to the last, because you need to know what I added or took away as I was speaking. Okay? What if I begin and I say, and Jesus wept, and you all go, oh, I know where that scripture's at. I know that scripture by heart. And you begin to think about something else. And I go, because you didn't give Eric a race. Okay? You know that scripture doesn't say that, but were you listening to me? It's easy to sit down and to begin to listen to the lesson. Okay, so Kevin's going to talk about, he's going to talk about giving. I just had to grab something. He's going to talk about giving today. Okay. And you're going to give him half-hearted thing, because we all know about the giving and why we should give. Because we've been here for a long time. Some of us start to take a nap. Did I leave the iron on or the oven? Did I shut it off? Can't remember. And then we fade back in for a minute. And then, oh, Did I remember to make sure I ask Pam where she wants to eat lunch? Because this is an ongoing game we have, and you have to be the first one to ask so you don't have to decide. By the way, this counts. So, all right. What, did my Amazon package arrive yet? Got to get my phone. I got to see, did they drop it off at the house? Did somebody Facebook send me something? I don't know. Then back to Kevin or Eric. Well, where's he at in the lesson? You have no clue what he's put in between there. Was it true? Or is he leading the church into error? Right? And you got to remember, and saying all this, just for to help you out, since I'm not the regular guy here, he can see all this. Okay? And yes, somebody's had a rough night. You can always tell the person doing their best not to doze off. They've had a rough night. Let that slide. But some people, it's every time they come in. We don't have any of those here anymore. But they've been here. Every time they sit down for the lesson, sound asleep, they have no idea what was preached. It's nice when you're not the regular preacher. You can say all kinds of things. All right. So, look at the speaker, please. One thought here. There's a lady in a church where I used to do some preaching down. I won't even say where. She's a nice lady. She was never asleep, but her practice was when you got up to speak, she would cross her arms like this, turn her head to the side, and close her eyes. Turned her good ear towards you. Now, you realize how, is she asleep? And, you know, and that's fine. I learned to deal with it. But let's listen to what the speaker's saying. That's how we have a noble heart in trying to hear the word. All right. Lean forward if it's necessary. Now, Mr. Copeland had this in his notes, and I left it because I don't care if you need to lean forward to involve yourself more in the listening. That's great. But I will share this with you because it struck me that we can learn from people we don't necessarily agree with. The Barack Obama White House administration encouraged their supporters to lean forward. That was a big ad campaign. And we can learn from people that we don't agree with. Now, I'm just going to leave that there. You can take what I meant about Barack Obama there. But I understood his campaign. He was telling his people, I want you to lean into what we're doing. The Hopi Changey thing, whatever he had to offer. If you're going to be my followers, I want you to really involve yourself. And that's what it's about. And so that's the lean in. And some people do that. When you're speaking, if they really are, wow, and you know, and you can see them lean forward in their seat. I don't need that from you. Kevin doesn't need that from you. If he saw it, he would say, oh, they're really into what I'm saying today. They want to be involved in what I'm saying and put it in their life. Okay? So I'll throw that out there for what it's worth. But whether we lean or not, we need to be committed to the hearing. This isn't a passive moment. All right, so reading along in your Bible. Not too many people do this anymore. It used to be common practice. But we have screens, we have PowerPoint. Hopefully you're reading the PowerPoint if scriptures are up there. But just like the taking notes, the reading along in the Bible helps cement the words into your mind. It helps with your Bible knowledge. It helps with your accepting and applying the words that you're hearing. We have to hear with faith. This is, we're told to pray with the belief that it will be provided. We have to pray, hear with faith as well. The Hebrew writer tells us that in chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2. Therefore, while the promise of entering the rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For the good news comes to us just as to them. The message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. Okay? We have to have the faith. What he's saying is those who listened and didn't actually believe they could obtain or didn't have the faith that God would actually deliver, they did not get to share in it because they didn't have faith it would happen. When you hear these words, you have to know that God is promising everything he says. If God says it, it is a promise. You know, another joke at our house, my wife would say something, and I go, well, I said it, therefore it's got to be true. Okay, and of course she usually scoffs. But in this case, it's true. If God said it, without question, it's a promise. It's not up for debate. And so we have to have the faith. As we listen, as we hear, we have to have the faith that it is the Word of God. But that's why you have to be listening in case, just go back to that one more time, in case I say something that's not. If I say something up here that's an error, you need to be ready to explain it to me when I get down from here. And if I don't want to hear it, then you need to get somebody new. Okay? And here with an act, a mind to act. We'll get ready for the invitation by just reminding us all of one we know so very well from James. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Yep. I saw some of your mouths moving. That's what I want. And that's what who we have to be. Don't just hear what I'm saying or Kevin saying or Mark saying. I want you to be doers of the word. Let's think about very simply. I've thrown a lot of scriptures at you this morning. But let's keep it real simple. If you can hear what the Apostle Peter said in Acts 2:38, he said, repent and be baptized. There's the invitation. It's that simple. If you heard the words and you had faith and you have the willingness, the nobleness of heart, then you know what needs to be done. Quite that simple. Otherwise, you don't believe God's promises and you don't believe what the Word said. And we need to study on that. But more importantly, not more importantly, I said that wrong. No, more applicable to this group this morning is what I meant to say. If we have not been hearing properly, if we have not been creating the fruit, not been the good soil we should be, perhaps we need to think about what we need to repent of. You know, the invitation isn't just for the lost soul. The invitation is also whether you need to make it public or just within your own heart to God. If something I've said has jogged you to think about, I need to be better. And if you need to be better, it means you've been not right. So maybe it's time for some repentance. So if there's any need for any one of the three things I've offered you this morning, whether it's your private repentance between you and God, whether it's public repentance where we can pray for you and help, or if you need to obey the gospel this morning and we'll baptize you this very day, this will be the time to come and let us know about that. Come, always stand and sing.